This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Holy One, may these words be your words. And if they are not, may these clever people hear what you need them to hear. Amen. Please be seated. We are presented today with a lesson from Jesus to pray always and not to lose heart. Surely this can be the foundation for our entire lives. To explore the gospel and especially the parable that he taught us to remember this, I'd like to use a technique that was given to us by St. Ignatius. Some of you have done this before, where we imagine ourselves to be one of the characters in the story or all of the characters. So I'd like to invite you to do that with me, if you would. Sometimes it's easier to imagine and to really try to feel what the people are feeling if you close your eyes, if you're comfortable. If not, that's fine too. So we will experience three characters, and then I have a little twist at the end for which I'm asking your forgiveness right now. This is, okay? I'm asking your forgiveness in advance instead of your permission. You'll see what I mean. So the first character that I'd like you to imagine being is this uncaring judge. Imagine yourself as a judge in a day when men ruled the court and all of society. And so pompous are you that you have no respect for God or people. So just think what that feels like now. You have no respect for anyone, including God. And you are tired of this woman who keeps coming to court and bugging you. She is relentless. What a nag. You're frustrated, edgy, sick of being bothered. So finally, one day, you give her what she wants just to get her out of your hair. Go away now. Stop bugging me, is how you feel. All right, now shake that one off. Shake that off, but I know I was happy to do so when I did it myself. So now, I'd like you to imagine that you are this widow. You are this widow. Imagine that you are persistent and that you are crying for justice day and night. Something personal is going on, something oppressive. You go to a judge who has no respect for God or people. You are a woman in a man's world, and you're not even supposed to be in court, but you persist. You care too much and will not stop caring until you are heard. And the judge refuses and refuses and refuses, but you go back day after day after day. You are patient. And then one day, it happens. You can't believe it, but he gives in. Not only were you allowed in court as a woman, but you won your case. Okay, now shake that off. And at the risk of being heretical, I'd like you now to imagine that you are Jesus Christ. You're walking with your disciples, and you've been traveling a long way. You're almost to Jerusalem, and you are urgent in what you're trying to teach them. And you know about the love of God and the power of prayer. And you're trying to help them understand. You know it's a direct line to God. And you want them to see the nature of God as the opposite of the uncaring judge. You want them to know God hears them when they pray, and so to pray and not to ever lose heart. Not ever. Even if it seems to take forever and they feel that their prayers are not answered. God knows what they need. You want them to know too. that they are loved with a love so great, so deep, so true, that justice will prevail, that love overcomes everything. That one we don't have to shake off. It's a powerful, powerful message and foundation for our lives. Now here's the twist. I'd like you to imagine now one more thing. Let's imagine that this persistent woman, the one who comes patiently day after day after day, is the earth, the universe. And let's just say that the uncaring judge is humanity. All of us. Just saying. This earth continues as prayer in motion as she follows her Creator's plan. Each day she persists in the sunrise. Each night she sets the moon and the stars in place. She bathes us in rain and warms us in sun. She guides the ocean tides at her Creator's command, the waves, the fish of the sea, and yet she's crying day and night for justice. But humanity turns a deaf ear again and again and again. Yet somehow deep inside, humanity knows that it's right to listen to her, but keeps thinking that this justice issue she has will go away, that somebody will figure it out. And she knows our holy Creator's message is for her to keep praying. And humanity, male and female, made in the image of our mighty God, keeps refusing her until one day, we will hear and respond in love, in truth, and in justice. Okay, so Sam, would you come help me, please? This is a furniture full disclosure moment. I'm using a piece of furniture to emphasize my full disclosure here. While I was writing this sermon, I felt like I really was getting on a soapbox. So I figured I better own up, and I even labeled it a soapbox, and I am unabashedly, blatantly standing on my soapbox. We owe it to our children to save the earth. We owe it to ourselves to hear this prayer, and it's incumbent upon all of us to do this. And there's still time, but not long. Like Jacob, we grapple with changing old habits. Jacob had lived his whole life by trickery, by manipulation, to get his own way. He cheated his brother by telling him lies. And as Brian McLaren writes, his old tricks weren't working anymore. So all night he felt like he was wrestling with God. And by the morning, Jacob finally realized that giving is better than taking. So instead of trying to trick Esau one more time, he saw Esau coming with a huge array of gifts to honor him. And when Jacob finally met Esau face to face, he realized Esau wasn't holding a grudge. He simply wanted to be reconciled to his brother. Jacob was so touched that he said these beautiful words: "Truly, to see your face is like seeing the face of God, since you have received me with such grace." Jacob discovered God's grace in the one he had always considered disgraced. In the face of the other, he discovered a brother. In the face of the one he assumed God hated, God had been revealed. We have been like Jacob with the earth. We stick with our old patterns because perhaps we don't know what else to do. Or we don't want to take the time or spend the money to change. Or we're in denial that there's even a problem. Figure somebody else will figure something out. Our challenge, and I'm saying our with every sentence, notice this. Our challenge is that we are facing an environmental emergency. And I use that word as one who used to be in the medical profession. Emergency means a life and death situation and is not to be used lightly. It's a life and death issue, my sisters and brothers. We have to step up. We have to step up. So I'm going to get off my soapbox now. Sam, would you mind? Thank you. There is no separation between the planet and us. There's no separation. When we are doing things to save the earth, we're saving ourselves and our very lives and the lives of our children and our grandchildren. And we've got this century, pretty much, to stop manipulating and stop cheating her and stop abusing her. And at the risk of continuing to sound like a soapbox, I've come down because this needs to be our general conversation. And we need to stop calling one another tree huggers. That's old. The new now is to realize how united we are with the planet and to let go of manipulation and cheating and abusing, to let go of pretending that the carbon monoxide that we're spewing into the atmosphere is okay. We pretend that the plastic bottles that we use are just going to kind of disintegrate out of sight, out of mind, but it takes 1,000 years for one plastic bottle to disintegrate. 1,000 years. We pretend that our natural resources are unlimited. And so today, for the kickoff of St. Joe's Goes Green, and we have a policy that's going to take a couple years to implement, the recycling you're going to hear about in the announcements is just the very beginning, is our one small beginning. And we might ask ourselves, is it enough? Does it really matter? And I'm here to tell you, yes, it matters. And we can do it step by step by step. We can be like that judge. Or we can hear the prayers of the earth. In closing, I'd like to hold up a book by James Martin. Father Mike told me about this last week. I had lunch with him, and he made me promise that I would get it and read it, and I've just started it. The title is The Meaning of the 21st Century. And James Martin, I've learned, if you don't know who he is, he used to be a rocket scientist, and in parentheses in the preface, he wrote, really, a rocket scientist. So he knows what he's talking about, and he's been on panels throughout the world when it comes to all manner of things scientific. He is an expert in his field, and he has just started a school called the 21st Century School and the James Martin Institute for Science and Civilization. And they're both at Oxford University. He knows what he's talking about. And he wrote this book, and listen to the encouraging words that he gives us in the mission of his school. Our mission is to identify and find solutions to the biggest challenges facing humanity in the 21st century and to find the biggest opportunities. And he goes on to write that there are opportunities and there are solutions. We just all have to be on board. All of us. And then he writes, we are on a non-sustainable course, a course that unless it is changed, could lead to grand-scale catastrophes. This could either be humanity's last century or the century that sets the world on a course toward a spectacular future. A spectacular, wonderful future where we honor our Creator God in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit in caring for this earth. Amen.